welcome all the devotees for Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we are going to discuss, this is the 30th shloka. We will be discussing shlokas 27 to 30 today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'll first chant Mangalacharan and then going to start. Yam pravrajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano virahakatar ajuhava putreti tanmayataya tarvo bhinendustam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi yah swanubhavam akhila shruti saramekam adhyatma deepamatititirshatam tamondham Sansarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasa sunamupayami gurum muninam Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayet Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you have your smartphones with you, so you can open Gita base or Veda base, so they can also see the shlokas as we are going to discuss, because around 4 shlokas are there. So I use my notes to speak something on that. Please bear with me 1 minute. So in text 27, this is canto 9, chapter 15, text 27. Atha rajani niryate rama ashramam agataha shrutva tattasya dauratmyam chukrod ahir ivahataha. Thereafter, Kartavirya Arjuna, having left with the Kamdhemnu, Parshuram returned to the ashrama. When Parshuram, the youngest son of Jamadagni, heard about Kartavirya Arjuna's nefarious deed, he became as angry as a trampled snake. So the comment is, just like when a snake is trampled upon, so he becomes very angry, point one, and he becomes determined to take revenge. So this is how Parshuram reacted. He became very angry and he was determined to take revenge against Kartavirya Arjuna. Text number 28. Ghoramadaya parashum satunam varma karmukam anvadhavat durmarsho mrigendra iva yuthapam. Taking up his fierce chopper, his shield, his bow and a quiver of arrows, Lord Parshuram, exceedingly angry, chased Kartavirya Arjuna just as a lion chases an elephant. So, the comment by the Acharyas is that just like a lion chases a pack of elephants, similarly Parshuram chased the king and his armies. That means lion is not afraid of the elephants, rather the elephants are afraid of the lion. So, then the second point is, why he is being compared to a lion? So, he said just like a lion is fierce to behold. Fierce, you understand? Fierce, very fearful to look at. So Parshuram was very fierce in his appearance as he was holding that powerful Parshu. Parshu means chopper and this axe, chopper, axe, yeah. And then arrows and he all those with the weapons he was having, he was looking very fierce. Text number 29. because there is no purpose, so I am only giving some small comments. Tam patantam bhrguvaryam ojasa dhanurdharam bana parashva dhayudham anenya charmam varamark damabhir yutam jatabhir dadrishe purim vishan. As King Kartavirya Arjun entered his capital, Mahishmatipuri, he saw Lord Parshuram, the best of the Bhrigu dynasty, coming after him. Holding a chopper, shield, bow and arrows, Lord Parshuram was covered with a black deer skin and his matted locks of hair appeared like the sunshine. So there is no comment on this. Now we'll discuss chant text number 30.
अचोदयद्धस्तिरथश्वपत्तिभिर् गदासि बाणार्ष्टि शताग्निशक्तिभिः अक्षौहिणी सप्त दशस्तिभिः शनसः ताराम एको भगवान असुदयात.
So let us get introduced to the shloka. Before we read the word meaning, look at the shloka and then we'll see them. Try to understand the meaning of the words. The word achodayat means inspire or give instruction. So Kartavirya Arjun instructed his armies to defend him against Parshuram. What kind of weapons they had? What are the people he sent? So hasti we understand means elephants. Ratha means people who were on chariots. Ratha ashwa, that means those ratha which were driven by horses, not by horsepower. Horses. Patibhir means these people who were foot soldiers, called infantry. Gada we understand, it is called club. Asi means sword. Bana means arrow. Rishti is a special kind of weapon. Shatagni also is a special kind of weapon. Shakti bhi also is a special kind of weapon. Shakti we have heard in Mahabharata. This Shakti weapon was possessed by Karna and he was holding it against Arjuna. Now this Shakti bhi is not one weapon. Many weapons like Shakti. So they were having that kind of weapon against Parshuram. Just imagine if one person has any of these weapons and comes to attack us when we have nothing. And how much weapons Parshuram has? Only one axe and few arrows. Some arrows like that. And then how many people were there? Akshahani. And Prabhupada, taking the commentary of Srila Viriraghavacharya, he will explain the word Akshahani in the whole purport. He doesn't elaborate anything else. Just to make this point that so many people, but Lord Parshuram was not fearful. Sapt Akshahani. Akshahani is a very large number of soldiers into seven. No, 17, sorry. Saptadasha. Saptadasha means 17. This reminds us of Jarasandh, who brought 23 Akshahani 17 times. How many times he was defeated by Krishna? 17 times. So that word 17 reminds of that. So he was defeated. And Bhishnaha. I think this also anybody knows Hindi, he understands. Bhishan means very fierce. So not only these people were having weapons, but they were not in a good mood. They were in a mood of fighting. They were very, very fierce. Ta Rama Eko Bhagavan Asudiyat. But all of them alone, Lord Parshuram, Lord Ram, completely destroyed. Completely. Asudayat. Arisudana. You have heard. It is the name of Arisudan. Acha, Madhusudan. So Krishna. So Madhusudan means who has killed the demon Madhu. So similarly, Sudayat. Asudayat means he destroyed all of them. He killed all of them. So I think the words are clear now. Let us read the synonyms. Achodayat. He sent for fighting. Hasti with elephants. Ratha with chariot. Ashwa with horses. Pattibhi, and with infantry. Gada, with clubs. Asi, with swords. Bana, with arrows. Rishti, with the weapons called Rishtis. Shathagni, with weapons called Shataknis. Shaktibhi, with weapons called Shaktis. Akshahani, whole groups of Akshahanis. Saptadasha, that means 7 and 10, 17. Athibhishnaha, very fierce. Taha, all of them. Ramaha, Lord Parshuram. Ekaha, alone. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Asudayat, killed. Translation. Upon seeing Parshuram, Kartavirya Arjuna immediately feared him and sent many elephants, chariots, horses and infantry soldiers equipped with clubs, swords, arrows, rishtis, shataknis, shaktis and many similar weapons to fight against him. Kartavirya Arjuna sent 17 full akshahanis of soldiers to check Parshuram, but Lord Parshuram alone killed all of them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada will elaborate on the point of akshahani. The word akshahani refers to a military phalanx consisting of 21,870 chariots and elephants, 1,09,350 infantry soldiers and 65,610 horses. An exact description is given in the Mahabharata Adi Parva second chapter as follows. Ekho ratho gajas chaikaha naraha panchapad padatyah trayascha turagas tagyai pattir iti abhidhiyate pattim tu trigunam etam vidhu sena mukham budha trini sena mukhani eko gulma iti adhidhiyate trayo gulma gano nama vahani tu ganastrayah shrutas tisrastu vahinya prataneti vichakshanai chamos tu pratanas tisras chamvas tisratu agn Anikini, Anikinim Dashagunam Ahur, Ahur Akshahinim Buddha, Ahuksh Akshahinyas to Sankhyata, Rathanam Dujasattamaha, Sankhya Ganita Tatwagyai, Sahasrani Ekavimshati, Shatani Upari Chastaucha, Huyas Tatha, Chasaptatai, Saptatihi, Gajanam to Parimanam, Tavat Evat Nirdishet, Gayam Sata Sahastram tu, Sahasrani Tatha Nava Naranam Adhi Panchasat Chatani Trini Chanagaha Pancha Shasti Sahasrani Tathashwanam Shatani Cha Dashotarani Sat Sahur Yathavat Abhikshana Khaya Etam Akshahonim Prahur Sankhya Tattvo Vido Janaha. I'll just read. One chariot, one elephant, five infantry soldiers and three horses are called apatti by those who are learned in the science. The wise also know that a sena mukha is three times what apatti is. Three sena mukhas are known as one gulma. Three gulmas are called a gana. You might be thinking, I am not going to fight a war, so why I have to hear? Prabhupada has put it in the purport, so we should read it. And three ganas are called a vahani. Three vahanis have been referred to by the learned as a pratana. Three pratanas equal one chamu and three chamus equal one anikini. The wise refers to 10 anikinis as one akshahani. The chariots of an akshahani have been calculated at 21870 by those who know the science of such calculations. O best of the ties born, and the number of elephants is the same. The number of infantry soldiers is 109350 and the number of horses is 65610. This is called an akshahani. So, nothing much to speak on the numbers. I'll share something which I reflected upon this shloka, some reflections and some comments by the predecessor acharyas. First comment is on the word echo. They say that Lord Parshuram defeated the whole Akshahani, 17 Akshahanis of a powerful army alone.
without anybody's help, asahaya, without anybody's help. So somebody may raise a question, how can I believe this? So that word which qualifies this is Bhagavan, because he is the Supreme Lord, he is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he has this Shakti which is called Dusht Dalan Shakti. What is that Shakti? Dusht Dalan Shakti. Dalan means, Dalan we say that we grind them completely. Similarly, Lord Parshuram is grinding the 17 Akshahanis without any trouble, without any difficulty. So he has this potency, and this explains the glories of Lord Parshuram, and this is, will help us to purify. Because if somebody has murdered one person, it's not such a great deal. Even now, in common parlance and common talking, people say, you know, that person has committed 3 murders. 3 murders? He must be a really dangerous man. So now how much murder or Parshuram has committed? So when we hear that, so in murdering people also, there is no equal to Lord. How many people he can murder alone also. But we can pray to Lord Parshuram that, my Lord, just like you have killed so many demons, you can also be merciful on me and kill the demons in my own hearts, which is difficult to clean, which is difficult to kill by my own strength. Lesson to be learned from this episode which I learned. One more thing. Srila Prabhupada in the translation says that Kartavir Arjun was fearful. So there is something very interesting. No matter how much powerful by material estimation we may become, the fear of death never evades us, never goes away. He was so powerful, he could defeat, you know that Kartavir Arjun had kept Ravan within his armpit. If I'm not wrong, that was a pastime being told. We don't even know how much powerful Ravan was. And still that person meets a match for him and is fearful for his life. And he's so fearful that instead of fighting Parashuram directly, he sent so many Akshahanis of soldiers. Maybe they are able to kill him. He's not fearless. And let us now put Prahlad Maharaj on the other side. He is in front of Hiranyakashipu, who nobody can challenge. Nobody can challenge. But he is completely fearless. We may preach to everybody, but if we have to preach to Hiranyakashipu, we will only say all glories to Hiranyakashipu. We cannot say all glories to Lord Vishnu. We don't have that. We should accept that. We don't have that kind of fearlessness. So this is very interesting. What kind? Even then, Hiranyakashipu was fearful. If you read the whole passage, he was trying to kill Prahlad Maharaj, but as Prahlad Maharaj was not getting killed, he was becoming fearful. Is this child going to kill me? I am not able to kill him. So is he going to kill me? So again, a deep lesson we have to learn. The real fearlessness is not in the objects of this world, because they cannot give us protection. So real fearlessness is when we take shelter of Krishna by the process of devotional service. When the heart is purified, we can understand how the Lord is protecting, and we can experience the protection of the Supreme Lord. And when that experience is mentioned or experienced, there is no fearfulness like that. What are the lessons I learned from this whole episode? First very important lesson is power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. So Kartavirya Arjun had no match in the world. So he was completely corrupted and intoxicated with his power, to the extent that he dared to go against a Brahmana like Vasishtha Muni. Isn't it? Oh, sorry, Jamadagni. I'm sorry. I mean, the same episode is Vishwamitra and Vasishtha. So it came into my mind. So he was so powerful, nobody could challenge him. So now he could think that he could also transgress and go against the Brahmanas. This is a mistake which a person naturally does. We also remember Maharaj Nahusa, when Indra was being chased by the sin personified of killing Vritasur. So Indra had to be within the Manasarovar. So for that time, sometime Maharaj Nahus was promoted to be Indra, and then he wanted to enjoy mother Shachi. Sachi, the wife of Indra. So this is how it happens. So we must understand, a devotee, but if he devotee gets power, he never becomes intoxicated. Just in the case of Arjuna we see, or Prahlad Maharaj, anybody who gets empowered by Krishna, he doesn't become intoxicated. That is something very important. But if he doesn't become intoxicated, that should be understood as a grace of Krishna. Otherwise, power in this world, naturally, we have a desire to become center of the world. And when we have such powers, then definitely we become intoxicated, and definitely we are going to commit offense to a great person, and then we will fall down. The same thing, Hiranyakashipu, regarding Hiranyakashipu, the demigods asked, when are you going to kill him? They approached Lord Vishnu, said, he's giving so much trouble. Said, I know. So when you're going to kill him, he said, when he's going to offend Prahlad Maharaj. And there Lord Vishnu says, anybody who offends demigods, cows, devotees of Krishna, Lord Vishnu, then his duration of life is diminished. No matter how many benedictions and how much power he has, it becomes diminished. Something also interesting, that Kartavirya Arjuna became powerful by the benediction of Dattatreya. You know that? He is an incarnation of Vishnu. And the same Lord Vishnu, coming as Parshuram, he finished his benedictions. You know that how he got this 1000 arms? It was only by the benediction of Lord Dattatreya, who is a partial incarnation of Vishnu. Similarly, but Lord Vishnu, when he saw that he is getting too much intoxicated, he came and cut his power off. I like mention this point. When Mataji, His Holiness, one devotee was mentioning and quoting Niranjan Maharaj. When Mataji, she must be still there, she asked Niranjan Maharaj, Maharaj, I am very successful in my devotional attempts, in collecting money, in making temples, in doing projects. I am very, very successful. So sometimes pride comes. So should I give up this pride, or should I ask Krishna to cut this pride off? So Maharaj said, it is better that you give up this pride, because if Krishna cuts your pride, you may not like it. So here we see Kartavir Arjun's pride is being cut off by Lord Parshuram. Same thing with Banasura also. So this is how it's important that we should become humble before Lord makes us humble. That is easier in that way. One more point we should understand from this episode is that although Lord Parshuram is very angry, but he still maintains his transcendental position. He is not affected by sin. It will be mentioned that he got cleared of sins, but an incarnation of Lord is never affected by sin. He came with a purpose, paritranaya sadhunam vinashayacha duskritam. So he came with a purpose for vinashayacha duskritam. He was knowing what he is doing. He was not being carried away by the modes of material nature as we would. So that kind of imposition should not be there on Lord. It is very important that the anarthas with which we are suffering, we should not impose them on Lord. If I am suffering from lust, I should not think, or naturally I will think, that Krishna, when he is interacting with the gopis, he is also being influenced by kama or lust. So we should always remember that the avatars of Supreme Lord are always transcendental. And when we hear, otherwise what is the point of hearing about him? So when we hear about him, we become liberated. This you can read in first canto, third chapter, where is the description of whole list of avatars. And then it is mentioned there that anybody who reads the description of this avatars, then dukha grama vimachyate, he becomes liberated from the whole group of miseries in this world. So now somebody may raise a question, when deha dvaya sambandha, that means when there is attachment to the subtle and gross bodies, how can a person become free from all miseries? You are saying simply by hearing the narrations of avataras, a person becomes free from miseries. How is it possible? So then in the further shlokas it is mentioned, vaishardi matihi. When a person submissively hears about Krishna and his incarnations, then Krishna bestows upon him this vaishardi mati, by which the influence of maya goes away. And then he becomes free from miseries, because the miseries are only there because of identification with the body or with the mind. Okay, let us say a small riddle. We are in the open sky. Those who know the answers, please don't reply. But those who don't know, I'll ask them. What is the color of the sky now? Nobody can see. It's not a difficult question. What is the color of the sky?
Actually, there is no color.
Yes, that is the answer. So we see, we attribute blue color, bluish and yellowish, but sky has no color. Similarly, the soul has nothing to do with the problems of body and mind, but we attribute on it like this. Just like sometimes we say cloud is there in the air, but the clouds are there in the air, but we say cloud is there in the sky. So clouds are being held by air. So we say sometimes the air is dirty. Air is not dirty. You are talking about dust particles. So because of this attribution of the faults of body and mind on soul, we become bewildered. We feel that we are miserable. So by hearing about Krishna and his past incarnations, their pastimes, we become delivered of this avidya. If time permits, we'll talk about it. So what I'm trying to say, it is very auspicious for us to hear about Parshuram also. We mentioned about his anger, that his anger is not a mode of ignorance. Now something very interesting. This Lord Parshuram, who alone defeated 17 Akshahanis of Kartavir Arjun, and is also going to kill Kartavir Arjun, who defeated Ravan very easily, could not defeat Bhishma Dev. Now see the equations. Can you equate things? Kartavir Arjun were very easily defeated by Parshuram. He defeated all the Kshatriyas, but he could not defeat Bhishma Dev. You know the whole pastime, so I will not tell the whole pastime. But he told Bhishma Dev, you have to marry Ambalika, if I am not wrong. Amba. So he said, no, I will not marry. So he said, then you will have to be killed by me. Just like I have killed the Kshatriyas previously, now I am going to kill you. Then Bhishma Dev also says, at that time a Kshatriya like me was not there. That's why you could defeat. Now let us see. If you want to fight, I'll give you the fight, but I'll not give up my vow. So you know that they were fighting, and then no result was coming. And finally the great sages come and say, why are you fighting over the woman? Why are you losing discrimination? Just give up this fight. And then Amba was left alone. This is how it's there. But same Bhishma Dev was defeated by Arjuna and Krishna was on his side. So you can see the empowerment which Krishna can give to his devotee. Unimaginable. Provided that devotee, I'll repeat this, emphasize this point. Provided that devotee wants to be a humble instrument of Lord's mission. There is no limit how much the Lord can empower our devotee, provided he wants to be a humble instrument in Lord's mission. Nimitta matram bhava sabhya sachi. Same point Lord Krishna says in the end of Bhagavad Gita, mat prasadat tarishyasi chetasa sarva durgani mat prasadat tarishyasi. By my mercy, you be conscious of me. By my mercy, you will overcome all obstacles. This has been noticed by Parikshit Maharaj in 10th canto, that my pitamahas, you understand pitamaha, pita means grandfathers, that means Arjuna and all others, they could cross over the great ocean of Kuru army just by the grace of Lord Krishna, which were having sharks like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya and other people. So why I am saying this point, we all have difficulties in Krishna consciousness, but all the 17 Akshahanis or whatever Akshahanis of difficulties we have can be crossed over very easily by the grace of Lord Krishna. Not by our grace, we may say His grace, but His grace, by Krishna's grace, we can cross over. That kind of faith we should have in a devotee. Very nicely Mahaprabhu says, Krishna will deliver a person who chants Krishna even once. Please chant Krishna. Krishna. So that is very nicely said. You don't have to work very hard. Even once you chant Krishna in your life, Krishna will udharibe. He will deliver him. But second clause is difficult. If he is not criticizing others. Oh, that is very difficult. That's why we have to chant 16 rounds. That is the difficult part. You know, a company has clauses, and many times in that purport, Mahaprabhu is emphasizing there is no gain in blasphemy. There is no gain in blasphemy. There is no need. Sometimes we criticize, then say, what we have to do? When we don't have to do anything, why were you criticizing that fellow anyhow? So this is very dangerous. But anyhow, this is how it is. Krishna very easily can deliver anybody, provided he doesn't criticize others. Mind your own business. That's what Krishna is saying. Another lesson which we learn from here is, beautiful lesson. This I am deriving from Hiranyakashipu. And all these people who are great Kshatriyas, they want to become the best. Yes? And they want to be Ajaya. That Ajaya means nobody should be able to conquer them. But in this world, there is no use in becoming best, because there will always be some person who is better than you, better than us. So it's better that we become humble, or try to become humble. Does it make sense? Whole world is pressing us to try to become best in our field. There is no use. Best person is a person who can humbly take shelter of Krishna. This is something which we have to learn. In all throughout, anybody who was thinking himself very great, somebody comes better and throws him off. This also gives us a lesson. There is no use in trying to compare ourselves with others, because everyone is better than someone and worse than someone else. Suppose you are chanting japa with devotees. So I may say one devotee is very absorbed in chanting. So okay, very nice. And if my mind is too much disturbed, a little funny, then you can see a devotee who is struggling to even remain awake. Then you say, oh, at least I am not sleeping too much. At least I have progressed that much. Even my mind is disturbed, but at least I am not sleeping. This devotee is not putting the devotee down. He is in a more difficult situation than myself. So in that way, we don't become envious. We don't compare ourselves with others. Krishna doesn't compare ourselves with anybody. He doesn't compare us with Haridas Thakur. He says, hey, Haridas Thakur is chanting 3 lakh. What are you doing? Useless fellow. Only 16 rounds. He doesn't do that. He just sees, even Krishna's instruction is there in Bhagavatam, what is good quality when we endeavor as per our adhikar and qualification. And then slowly, slowly our adhikar and qualification will increase. So there is no use in trying to become the best person. We should try our best, but don't try to become the best person in this world. Because even if you become best, how long it will be? Mrityu sarva haras chaham udbhavascha bhavishyatam. Krishna will take up everything away from us. Sometime it is difficult to digest, but even our intelligence will be taken away from us. Isn't it? In the old age it happens. Another lesson which I learned from this is, when we become powerful materially, then we become intoxicated with the pride that anything good should belong to me. Is it not? When we are very materially powerful, everything good should come to me. Anything good should be possessed by me. And that also we see in the case of Kartavirya Arjun, who, it was not that he had no cows or anything, but he was just focused on that Kamadhenu which Jamadagni had. So this is a few lessons which we learn from here. If any questions are there on this, we can take up. Otherwise, I want to talk something on the holy name. So if you have any questions up to this point, I can take up. No questions? Okay. So my Bhagavatam class is finished. My 10 minutes holy name seminar is there. So if you like to attend, you can continue to sit here. Many times we have heard this example that a person who is suffering from jaundice, he can be cured by taking the medicine regularly. Have you ever thought from where this example is given? Nectar of instruction. Syat Krishna nama charita disitapya vidya pito patapta rasanasya narochikano kintva daradana nidam khalu saiva jushta svadvikramad bhavati tadgad mool hantri. So the first part of the shloka is very clear. Just like a person who has jaundice, he would not like to have sweets. But the only way he can be treated is by taking sweets. So this is very clear, everybody knows. But the second part is the seminar of Srila Rupa Goswami on the holy name. I think all of you know and have faith that Rupa Goswami has taste for chanting Hare Krishna. One name, when I chant, and I cannot describe how much sweetness is there. So we should hear from Srila Rupa Goswami what formula he is giving for cultivating taste for chanting Hare Krishna. When we talk about cultivation, that is interesting. Cultivation means you put a seed, you water it regularly, you make sure that the pigs don't eat it. Pigs eat sweets? Sorry, seeds? Yes. We are doing some farming, and as soon as we plant some seed, the smell will come, and the wild boar pigs will come, and they will eat your seed away. So this is how it is there. When a person takes to Krishna consciousness, there will be so many people who will take the seed away. So, cultivation means constant guard in getting, with the aim of getting the fruit of that plant. So then the second part says, Kintu, Lekin, but, Adarad Ananidam. There are two words which Srila Rupa Goswami is mentioning. First is Adarat. Adara means respect. It's not simply It's not like that. Adarat. Adarat means respect. We'll dilate on it. And Anunidam. Anunidam. That means day after day. If a person khalu seva jushta, he is endeavoring namashraya kari jatanishnumi thakha apanakarjavi. Be situated in your activities, but take shelter of the holy name with endeavor. There is some endeavor needed in chanting the holy names. Swadvikramad bhavati tadgadam mulahantri. This root of not liking the holy name or having aversion to the holy name is destroyed from its root. That means now there is no possibility of not liking the holy name. When a disease is rooted means it is taken away from this root, then there is no possibility the disease will come back again. So Srila Rupa Goswami says, if we chant the holy names and hear Krishna's pastimes with respect and daily, then he is assuring by his experience. This is not a theoretical shloka. His experience of Srila Rupa Goswami, that definitely taste will awaken. And Prabhupada translates natural taste. There is no endeavor now for finding taste in the holy names. Just like there is no seminar in ISKCON to teach devotees how to relish a rasagulla. Has there this point been emphasized in any of the Bhagavatam class? We should taste rasgullas, and how we can taste prasadam. There is no seminar. I don't think any seminar is there. Everybody is accomplished in that. So we can understand this point. So let us see the science behind it. Who does not like chanting? The soul does not like chanting. The soul is hungry for chanting. I'll repeat this point. Prabhupada, you please go and read this. This is text number 7, NOI. Please read this. It is the avidya which turns the taste of chanting Hare Krishna into something unpalatable. I'll repeat this point. The disease of avidya perverts, switches over, turns over the sweet taste of the holy name into something bitter. Our dear devotee has experience of suffering from jaundice. So he told, when he was given rasgullas, he was feeling, oh, I feel like vomiting. I don't feel like eating this. One time one brahmachari was sitting in front of me, and he got 4 rasgullas, mahaprasad. This is all real life thing. I said, oh, you're enjoying very nicely. He said, no, I have joined this. So the doctor has told me to take 4 rasgullas every day. So for him, I am saying, oh, you must be enjoying. But he's not enjoying. It's austerity for him. But the medicine has been prescribed. So now, so we have understood. So now, if this, in spite of having avidya, in spite of not having taste for the holy name, if I chant with respect and with determination day after day, then slowly, slowly this avidya is getting dissolved. You understand this point? You must have experience. And then your natural taste for chanting the holy name awakens. Agraha, as we say in Sanskrit. Eagerness to chant the holy name is aroused. So this happens very fast in Vrindavan because everything is 1,000 times multiplied. So I'll elaborate on what is adar and what anudinam, you understand day after day. What is adar? And also explain something about anunidam. I discussed with His Grace Janinivas Prabhu about whom my Guru Maharaj Radhanath Maharaj told that he has taste for chanting the holy names. So naturally you would like to know the success story. So I asked him exactly where, just behind this camera, he was finished his class, and I asked him, Prabhuji, is by increasing the number of rounds we get taste for chanting? His answer was, no. It's quite amazing. His answer was, no. So he told me three formulas which I tried to apply, which you can try to learn. First is, we should have faith that the name is not different from Krishna. Prabhuji, I have heard so many times, what new thing you are telling. But Srila Prabhupada in one of his lectures says, if Radha and Krishna come through the door, he exactly says like this, how will you behave? Yes, I'll say, please sit down, let me check my WhatsApp and then I'll attend to you. One devotee was mentioning, people don't have faith because they don't have experience of the holy name. Now I would comment on this, what experience you are giving to the holy name before I ask what experience I'm getting from the holy name. Does it make sense to you? When Krishna is coming on my tongue, Srimati Radharani is coming on my tongue in the form of their holy names, my mind may go anywhere, so many places, but deliberately checking WhatsApp, talking to people, this is not we are meant for. One Srinivas Vaishnava said, everything is good in ISKCON, but they don't chant japa properly. It's amazing that we are the Hare Krishna movement, and I'm not saying everybody does bad japa. That is not my point. But when you chant very attentively, there is no question of hazy consciousness. So with that understanding, with that shastric understanding, that the name is non-different from Krishna, my first attitude should be, I'm here to serve the name, not to enjoy him. It's a very important point. I am here to serve. This is called tat sukha sukitvam. In the happiness of Lord is my happiness, no matter how I feel. This is a very important point. Some people say, I don't feel like chanting. But it is not a question of your feeling. How does Krishna feel? Krishna feels very happy when we chant Hare Krishna, just like tomorrow, Shivratri, or today, whichever is the day. Shivji says, in one of the shastric shlokas, he says, anybody says Ra, then I become very enthusiastic. Maybe he will say Ma also. So he is very eager to hear Rama, like that. And Krishna also, we know from 6.2.9-10, that anybody who has chanted his name, his mati is on that person. That this person belongs to me and it's my duty to protect him, even if that person's mind is somewhere else. So with this kind of respectful attitude that Krishna is coming on my tongue, one should chant the holy name. One should be as less distracted as possible. That means at least switch off the phone. I'm a manager of 3 projects. I don't want to glorify myself or anything, but I have a responsibility of temple, goshala, farm. I keep my phone off, and there has been no emergency except one devotee's accident which happened 5 or 6 years back. And when I went to attend him, I fainted. So there was no point in going there. I could not see his blood and just fainted. So what is the point of my going there anyways? So there is no emergency practically. I don't think there has been any fire accident reported in a temple. And those who are not managers, they are not supposed to talk. If a manager can switch off his phone, then every other devotee can also switch off his phone. If there is no service. There is no service in the morning for most devotees. Except our idea that there is service. This is the highest service which we are doing when we are chanting Hare Krishna. Bahya Pooja. What is that? Is this shloka from Shastra? Bahya Poojadi Anapekshakam. Vang Matrena Poojitam. Just like all pujaris are serving on the altar. Mangal Aarti is happening. And suddenly you see here the pujari is checking WhatsApp, and then again he is doing Aarti. And then again he sees WhatsApp, and then he is doing Aarti. So we are not understanding. When we are chanting the holy names, we are worshipping Krishna. Vang Matrena Poojitam. By simply chanting, we are worshipping Krishna. It is so difficult for us to understand. This is from Shastra. And Bahya Poojadi Anapekshikam. If there is no Bahya Pooja, external Pooja, still Krishna considers this is worship of him, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. So with this kind of, just like that, pujaris are serving Krishna very respectfully. In that way we should chant Hare Krishna. With as much attention as possible, with every inch of my energy should be invested in chanting Hare Krishna. This first point I would say. trying to accept that Krishna is not different from His holy name. Second, is that we should not desire material things in reward of chanting. That is very easy to understand, because that's how we can revive our relationship with. It's a relationship, it's not simply a mechanical thing which we are doing here. And third is trying to be attentive. This trying to be attentive is called Namabhas, and that has been explained by Srila Rupa Goswami again in Namashtaka. Yada bhasopi udyan kavalit bhavad dhvant vibhavo drisham tattvan dhanam api dishati bhakti pranayinim. That means when a person comes to the stage of Namabhas, kavalit bhavad dhvant, he becomes liberated. Prabhupada explains also this in the purport. And he gets a glimpse, even if he is completely unaware of tattva, he doesn't know much tattva, but he gets a glimpse of pure devotional service. Dishati bhakti pranayanim. What is pure devotional service, he understands. So, this is very important. So, what are the 3 points we learned regarding other? Respect is, the name is non-different from Krishna. He has invested all his energy in his holy names. And this is my exclusive time to spend with Krishna. And also, it also means that we don't sleep in japa. If we feel sleepy, we can walk or something like that. We don't make our japa radar japa. Oh, this is going wrong, and that is going wrong, and Hare Krishna, and that is going wrong. One nice instruction by Srila Prabhupada, don't do anything and don't think anything. So at least we start with not doing anything else. Hare Krishna, drink water, there's so many things. That's not how we do a meditation. One more thing which I would like to say, which is, we just were reading in Bhagavad Gita, we found out, how we are sitting is very important. I had a desire to speak on these points, but always the Bhagavatam class was extending to 9 o'clock, so I could not speak, so I am finding this opportunity. In Vedanta Sutra 4.1.7, it is mentioned, meditation on the Lord is possible by asana. Asina sambhavat. So, it is because walking is actually an activity of mode of passion. So, how we are sitting is extremely important. So, there are 3 P's also. This is called posture. So, as you see, as I am sitting, my hands should be near the knees. And you will see, it actually makes a lot of difference. Tomorrow, if you come for group japa, you see anybody who is sleeping, his hands will be like this, and his, the backbone will be like this. Even a person who is sleeping now in Bhagavatam class, he will be like this only. Anyway, this is how you feel sleepy. This is a sleepy pose. So, and this is little painful, but you will remain alert. If I feel sleepy, I will know. And this you can find confirmation from Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, 11, 12, 13, 14. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan achala stira. Your neck, this torso and the head should be in a straight line. It's not that you immediately become attentive by doing that, but at least we remain awake and alert. So first is posture, and second is pronunciation. Prabhupada says in the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, some people make a hissing sound, and maybe it is me or somebody else. We don't have to check for everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Not that. It has to be very clearly pronounced. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is where, again, we are worshipping Krishna. These points everybody knows, but after knowing also, may make mistake. So, if you are trying to hear, you will know what we are chanting. I am saying, one time I was just going, and then one Mataji was chanting. Nothing against Mataji in general, that Mataji was chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Completely oblivious is which mantra she is chanting. Same time, the Prabhu can also do like this. This will promote us to the state of being conscious of what we are doing. As Srila Prabhupada would say one time, don't be Krishna unconscious. And Srila Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction, first stage is to become to mode of goodness, become conscious. And also, trying to be attentive in chanting. And the comment on Anunidam is told by my counselor, that you try to do same things every day. Mangalarati, Japa, Guru Puja. Try to have a regulated life, because that will promote mode of goodness, and then you will feel taste for chanting. Which I am also have some experience. Like yesterday was very good day for chanting. Means good day for chanting means blissful chanting. So I am not a very advanced devotee, but some days within a month or three, four days like that, it can be a blissful chanting, because Krishna consciousness is not an intellectual imposition on the mind. It is an experiential thing. We have to experience Krishna consciousness. We have to experience the taste in the holy name, confirmed. So these are the few points I just mentioned about chanting the holy names. I'll just revise it. First is, we should have faith that the name is not different from Krishna. We should be attentive. We should not desire anything material. We should try to sit in nice posture, chant clearly, and with, be aware that it's for Krishna's pleasure. I'll just stop here. If any questions are there, I don't want to go over time, otherwise we'll stop. Okay. No questions? So stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada.